Before we get to today's podcast, I want to remind you about another great ESPN podcast, the Woj Pod. Every week, Woj chats with the newsmakers in and around the NBA, players, coaches, executives, and more. This past week, he did a live event at All-Star Weekend with Clippers guard Patrick Beverley, Jackie McMullen, Ryan Russillo. So be sure to check that one out. Download and subscribe to the Woj Pod and the right time wherever you get your podcast. Let's talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career and is already a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. There are millions of unfilled cybersecurity positions in the U.S. right now, and My Computer Career is training people to help fill them. No IT experience or education? No problem. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get what you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so make new year, new career your resolution and take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It's that time of week where we do interviews. It's the All-Star break, so I got my man coming to us live from San Antonio. It's just like Compton. His name is Bruce Bowen. What's going on, man?
You weren't supposed to mention that about these rough streets of San Antonio, baby.
Dude, my favorite thing about San Antonio is if you come in for a game, you don't know what I'm talking about. You make a couple wrong turns, it gets clear real fast.
Well, and that's where you understand that you need to follow directions or listen to the right people, like people listening to The Right Time. You see what I did there?
I like how you played that, man.
All right.
I like how you did that, man. Let me ask, did you enjoy the All-Star game?
I'm going to tell you this. I enjoyed the fourth quarter of the All-Star game. And I'm only say this, Bomani, from the standpoint, I know we have all these individuals talk about, you know, all the different scenarios as far as the way the game has changed. What I saw in that game continues to allow me to understand that it is truly about having a big man that can do something on that block, because if you do, you change the scenario of the game. We saw Joel Embiid late in that game. I mean, who gonna guard him? AD couldn't guard him. LeBron sure couldn't guard him because of the size. But at the same time, you surround that guy with a couple of three-point shooters, you have the making of what the NBA has always been. And I'm not talking about Golden State. Everybody, this is a copycat league. Everybody wants to try to copy what someone else does. But you can't copy what Golden State does. They got two of the best shooters in the game. So take that away and look at how the game has transferred from the standpoint of having that big to slow the game down, but also to change up the scenario of what goes on late in game.
You know, so I always, it's so interesting for me to hear you say that, because it's something I've been saying all the time as people went toward the revolution, toward three-point shooting. I understand the math on it, but the Warriors have two of the greatest shooters
exactly.
of all time. I've been like, if you're going to go get two guys that can do all the other basketball stuff that you need, plus shoot 43% from three, then you can make this work. But one team has ever done that.
No, they haven't. And even if you look at the Miami Heat, they still had Chris Bosh, who could go down low. They had LeBron, who, you know, he's a freak of nature, and the fact that he's been able to do the things that he does is truly special. But prior to that, Bomani, I give credit to what Golden State has been able to do. They've never had a big man. They've never had a big man that's been a dominant force there. It's always been about perimeter in that organization. You go as far back as Chris Mullins, Mitch Richmond, Tim Hardaway Sr. You know, it was always about the perimeter. They just continue that model along, where next thing you know, they happen to get one of the greatest players in the game as far as Kevin Durant is concerned, and now it made them so much different. But now look at things. People are talking about, well, you know, I'm watching D'Antoni talk about, he and Steve Nash talk about what transpired in Phoenix. When we would go play Phoenix, Bomani, we knew that they couldn't guard us. And we could guard them. So in essence, because they don't pay any attention to the defensive scheme of things, which kind of looks familiar now with D'Antoni again in Houston, we knew that we were going to be able to score, but it was about getting stops. You shoot all the threes you want because percentages in heated moments go down from three as compared to on the block and mid-range area.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting to me about Phoenix in that, because I always thought the reason that Phoenix can make it work, and this is what I wonder about with the Rockets, Phoenix can make it work as well as they did to me, and I want to know what you think about this, because they had Shawn Marion, right? Like, you had a guy that could guard point guards because Nash couldn't, and a guy that could guard to four, maybe five, right? Like, that was their helpful thing to have there.
Four. Right. Yeah, we're going to stop at four because when
they couldn't guard Tim Duncan.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Continue on, Bomani.
Right. But I don't know how this Rockets incarnation is going to do that. I've been surprised offensively because they brought, like, Russell Westbrook is back, apparently, from seeing that. But I don't know how this one, as teams get a chance to adjust to what they're doing, how they're going to be able to guard people.
You know, during the regular season, it's different for special players. Obviously, Russell Westbrook is a special player along with James Harden. But when we get into the postseason and teams play a team for more than three games, when they all they have to do is focus on you. See, when they went with this small ball deal, I mean, man, you talk about throwing everything but the kitchen sink into something. That's what they're doing right now. And the gimmick works in the regular season. Regular season gimmicks work. One time I got a Rasheed Wallace in a game, and we won. And we did it again next game. We still won. But they started to figure it out after two games. Put Bruce in a situation where you're going to have to guard Rasheed on the block. And I couldn't do that. I mean, I'm too small. Same thing with Zach Randolph. But gimmicks work in the regular season because you don't have a team that's necessarily focused on this game for a week. You have a team focused on that game for that evening and preparing for another game coming up the next couple of days. So that gimmick of playing small ball, it looks good right now. But Bomani, I, and if I'm wrong, I will tell you in a few months when we're on air again that, hey, I need to apologize because it's working. But small ball doesn't work quite like that. You need a big out there to do things and slow the other opponent down.
And the Warriors, is worth noting, really only go small 10 or 12 minutes a game, right? Because they always had Bogut. They always had Azeele. They always had somebody with some size about them.
There you go. And that's the thing. That's what's – now, Steve Kerr understands that. You know, Steve was able to do it without a dominant big, but you still had Luke Longley. You had, you know, Cartwright down there. You had Bison Dele down there. So when you have somebody that can do something down low, when you force a double team, now you get those opportunities to attack once the ball moves from one side of the floor to the other. I hear these guys trying to do it from the wing standpoint and for outside only. No, you got to be really special. And then what happens when, say, Russell Westbrook, when a team says, okay, we're going to live with Russ taking all the shots. We're going to live with Russ doing what he does. And we're going to limit everybody else. We're going to deny James Harden the ball. Now, let's just put it on Russ. Now, that sounds fine and dandy to Russ, but after a while, those guys standing on the perimeter waiting for the ball from time to time, and they don't get it, they start to lose their rhythm. They don't have a rhythm. So when they do finally get a shot, it's even more pressure on them. Whereas if you had Capella and you go through him a little bit, I'm not saying that you just come down and dump it all the time, but give the dog a bone every now and then and see what happens when a team has to rotate because of what he's doing.
To me, the moral of the story is 82-7 are not the same thing, right? And what you can do for 82 is cool. And this is, to me, a little bit of a shortcoming of the analytics revolution, is that what works in the large sample for 82 and what all the numbers will tell you is one thing. But when it comes down to 7, most of that stuff goes out the window.
That is so true, because once it comes down to that 7, Bo, you don't have – you know, 2 weeks to, oh, it's okay, we'll figure it out. No, there is no figuring it out then. It's about figuring it out right then and there, because you don't have tomorrow to necessarily depend on.
This is an interesting year, and now that we're like coming to the other side of it, like I look at the East, Milwaukee fascinates me because they're going to probably win 70 games. They're wild impressive. Do they have anybody who can get his own shot? And like that, and Giannis can get shots, but he's still not, as much as we say he's a better 3-point shooter, it's like a couple years ago when we said that about DeMar DeRozan, you look up and he's still shooting 31%.
Right. You don't want to take him out of his element. And I see him with those two air balls in the game. I mean, to shoot an air ball three, that happens. You know, I mean, you know, you just can, but he's a high volume shooter. He shouldn't be shooting air ball threes. It just goes to show for me is that he's still not confident in that shot. No matter how much you work on it, you have to be able to transfer it to what you do. I mean, I know we're not talking about this individual right now, but look at Ben Simmons, and the fact that Brett Brown came out early in the year and he said, I want him to take more shots. If you are not confident in something, Bomani, you are not going to do it. Now, let's take it into account where when it gets hot and the battle is getting going and you need a shot, you need something from that individual, what teams are going to do, they're going to pack the paint against the Milwaukee Bucks. And then what happens is now, kind of similar to what happened last year, they got stagnant. They didn't know what to do. It was no longer ball movement. Oh, look at this attacking the gap. It's hard to move the ball when the opponents are saying, hey, go ahead, shoot it. Go ahead, shoot the jump shot. We'll live with that as compared to you getting into the paint. And I know they got Kyle Korver now, but we're talking about Kyle Korver being a little long in the tooth now, whereas as soon as he touched the ball, you're like, get on him. Now he's not knocking down those shots quite like that, which further lets me know about how important it is that we have still the specialists in the game. You can't have a team full of macho guys or alpha males on the same floor. Everybody wants the ball. You got to have guys that are willing to do their job to a T in order to fit the team, which will allow the dominant player like a Giannis to have open gaps to penetrate and do things in the game.
And none of these other cats can get their own shot. Like that, the thing that gets me is Giannis uses like 36% of possessions or something like that. He's taking all those shots. It seems like he's almost in an old LeBron situation where I got to make all the shots and I got to make all the passes. And you want me to make most of the rebounds.
There you go. And I think it's a lot of responsibility to put on one player. Now, I know, you know, we have Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's a very good ball player as well. I like Chris's game, but I need consistency from others. Maybe that means, you know, because I'm not a big fan of a guy taking 20 shots a game, Bomani, because I think in those 20 shots, there were three or four bad shots. You remember the year where LeBron and Dwayne Wade had the best statistical shooting percentage in their careers, and I think it was more or less because they took away the bad shots for better shots. So now they're not just jacking up a shot. Now they're moving the ball. They're doing things and allowing everybody to have a flow. But if you remember, Bomani, even on those teams where LeBron and Dwayne were on, they had specialists out there. You had Shane Battier who could knock down threes. You had Mike Miller who could knock down threes. You had another player who could possibly do his own thing in Chris Bosh. So when we go into this, I love the twins, the Lopez twins. You know why I love them, Bo? Because they're from Fresno, exactly. So, but with that being said, I don't want them always out on the perimeter shooting the three. That, you know what? Get your 7-foot self down on the block. That's what I want to see, Bo. And when Robin's on that block, he looks good. He's hard to defend because he has a slowfulness in his game, but he always seems to get wherever he wants to get, and it's a plus. Now, what they're saying right now is that, well, he's clogging up the lane for Giannis. You know what? Sometimes let's let that lane get clogged and put Giannis in a dunker spot and let him go to work sometimes so that you can change it up a little bit as compared to just shooting 3-point shots.
And quietly, Brooke Lopez is not making those threes this year like he did last year.
Yeah. And I see, they twins, and I called it, I said Robin. I meant Brooke. I look at this, it's such a different game, and I don't have any fault with it. It's just different where there was a time where, Beaumont, if you missed two threes in a row, you knew that third shot was going to dictate whether you were on the floor or next to the coaches. See, now it's like, hey, keep shooting. It's bound to fall. No, let's get to the point of being more efficient or get somewhere on the floor where you can be efficient, because ultimately that's what the game is about. You look at what Toronto did with Golden State. You didn't see Klay Thompson shooting a ton of threes. He was being run off the line, getting to the mid-range area. Same thing with Steph. When the game becomes more about possessions, the defense is going to take away the other's strength to the best of their ability, and now you're going to have to do what? Shoot mid-range.
All right, we'll be back in a minute with Bruce Bowen, but first, hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And by using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones, then find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen says she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly and hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BOMANI. Now, let me ask you this about the East. Who you feel good about coming out of there?
I do feel good about Milwaukee, but I also feel good about Philly if they ever get themselves. And maybe it's my love and affinity for Brett Brown that I feel this way, because you look at that team, they have the pieces, Bomani. It's just I wish that they had the leadership on the floor to go along with those pieces. And I still look at Joel Embiid and what he can do, Bomani. You know, you saw a glimpse of it in the All-Star game. When it got tight down low, you got buckets or a foul with him. So, obviously, I'm thinking like, come on, Joel, you can do that during the regular season too. But I just wish they had more of leadership on the floor, because the coach can't do it all. And then I like Toronto still, because people are still talking about everybody else and talking about the departure of what Kawhi has done. But you look at that group, they are still playing at a high level, and they're doing it against quality teams. It's not like they're just, you know, oops, we dropped this one, we dropped that one. You got Kyle Lowry that is being big in his facilitation and getting others involved. So now you have that up-and-down style of play with them. And with Siakam, he's able to get to the cup. And, again, he's not settling for jump shots, but he's getting to places where he can be more of a threat for his ball club, whether he's scoring in the lane or getting to the free throw line or taking those wide open shots.
Yeah, and Philly, Simmons, who I think is so
you have to exhale, brother.
I do, because, like, I work with Pablo, who just, like, ignores the Simmons faults. And, you know, I got to, like, fight against the fight that I'm always having on that one. Because I think the things that he's exceptional at, but he doesn't try to do any of the other stuff. It's like he only seems to want to do the things that he's really good at. And so with shooting, to me, it's not even you don't shoot threes. It's that you don't shoot from outside of 10 feet. And I've never seen a player like him who's just like, nah, shooting, I'm good.
Well, it's not that, Bomani. It's because his skill set is what it is. And whenever we get pressed in certain things, we're creatures of habits. And his habit is being real good at attacking that rim and finishing with either hand. I used to hate it. I hated it when people would say, oh, so-and-so needs to add a three-point game to his game and he'll be better. You know what? Maybe he's not a three-point shooter. DeMar DeRozan's not a three-point shooter. I like the fact that he didn't necessarily start settling for those threes and still did what he did. This is what makes them special. They're special because they're able to do something that looks relatively maybe normal that others should be able to do, but they do it at a higher level. So if you are good at something, don't take away from that by trying to become something else. That's what happens so much with today's youth in the game, is that you might be very good at doing something, but they don't spend time on it year after year, or I should say summer after summer. You look at Mike Bibby when he first came into the game. He was a very good mid-range shooter, and he got to that mid-range game when he was with Sacramento early on. Then he started progressively getting out to that three-point line. That's how it works. Chris Paul, same thing. Chris doesn't take a ton of threes because that wasn't his game. He knew where to get and where to be successful. You have to stick with what you do. You cannot fall in love with what some of the analysts are saying as far as what a player needs to do, especially when his former players saying that when they had inhibitions as well. Because I remember Spree and C-Webb especially, that boy loved that right hand. He loved his right hand so much he drove his car in a circle, Bomani. So he didn't necessarily start going left. He stuck with what he was good at.
Yeah, but you got to be good at shooting something. That's my thing with Simmons. You got to be good at, like, again, I don't need him to be a three-point shooter, but you have to be willing to take a jumper, because as you talk, we talk about with Giannis, they're going to back off that dude and they're going to be playing 4-on-5 on everybody else.
So you say that, and it's about the development of an individual. You have to continue to instill that confidence, which I believe Brett Brown does with Ben Simmons. Now it's up to Ben. Ben has to get to the point where he's comfortable enough, where he's put in enough many hours at that. You remember when Tony Parker first came into the league, Bomani? What did they do when he ran a pick and roll? They went under.
Yep.
And a lot of times they still wasn't quick enough with him getting over that screen. But what you saw eventually by his second and third year, he started knocking down that shot. But he worked so hard at taking that shot, Bomani. And sometimes when these guys get into the gym, and, you know, I remember the video that came out this summer with Ben shooting jump shots, and you looked at the defense didn't look like they were playing too tough, did they? So you got to do it at game speed. That's one of the great things that Stan Van Gundy told me when I was in Miami. He was an assistant there. He was like, hey, it's got to be game speed. Man, Stan Van Gundy would sweat passing me the rock. And my thoughts were these. If that man is sweating like that and he's just passing me the ball, I better do my part as well. So it's about working at a game pace as well, because so many times guys go through the motions, Bomani. I'm constantly reminding guys how important it is, game speed, because when you're coasting out there and then the game speeds up, next thing you know, you go back to your old stuff and you don't even want to try the new stuff.
And, like, what I worry about with Philly, and I'm curious your thoughts about this, because, you know, Brett, he's been there for a while now. I feel like them taking 3 or 4 years where nobody cared about winning, like, that mark is still kind of there. Like, the questions that people have with Embiid about his conditioning and some questions about his entitlement and stuff, that's what happens when you spend 3 years not caring about winning.
That's a very, very good point you bring up there, Bomani. But I'll tell you this, even though they didn't necessarily, as you say, care about winning, they were still getting after it. They were still building that culture. And once they got the pieces there, now it's up to them. And what happens in this day and age right now, you know, there's not a lot of guys that understand what it takes, you know. And I believe that's why they brought in Horford, you know, give some veteran leadership there. But Al hasn't been to the finals. So you try to bring in guys. You had J.J. Redick there last year, and J.J., their group never accomplished the goal of representing the West in the Western Conference, coming out of the Western Conference for the finals. So, you know, it's still about building that culture. And I think, you know, to Philly's credit, they've done a tremendous job with building a great culture there. Now, it's the onus is on the players. Now, I know coaches get fired when players don't produce. And I remember, I believe it was Dale Harris that was in L.A. Whoever it was before Phil Jackson.
Yeah, it was Dale Harris.
Okay. But I felt like, you know, y'all quit on him, but now Phil comes in, everybody want to play now. See, that's the other part. You know, and I'm going to say it right now, Bomani. Those players that win championships after not making the playoffs that have been there for a few years, they need half their salary cut because of their actions.
You coming for their buddy Bruce.
Man, that's the only way you motivate them now. How many guys say, you know, it sounds good. Oh, I love this game. This is my thing, you know. Blood, sweat, and tears. Man, please. You didn't even dive on the floor for a loose ball. What you mean blood, sweat, and tears? Come on, man. We got to get that hunger with these guys.
Well, let me tell you this, man, about the East. I'm getting warm to Boston. I'm really getting warm to Boston.
And what for me with Boston is that I don't know if you can do it with that style of play that they have without the big. I know Enes Kanter is doing a fantastic job there, but I need to see less jump shots and better shots. Let's take away seven of the bad shots from the young core and get better shots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that means, okay, Jason Tatum, when you come down, I don't want you to jack up that three. I want you to continuously stay on the attack. And see, and this is where, you know, this is where coaching, especially today, is a lot like parenting. You know, as a parent, you don't want to be your child's friend. That ain't your job. Your job is to raise that child to the best of your ability so they can succeed in life even after you're long gone. So I need more fervor on them. I need more discipline on them. I need you getting on them and letting them understand that, hey, man, look here, I'm the coach. You do your job, and we will succeed. I just don't feel like that, you know, Stevens is that way enough because – of what's transpired in the past there.
See, this is my thought on them. I worry about a team whose best player is 6'1", right? Like, if your best player, if your best offensive option is 6'1", I worry about that. But if your best option is 6'8", now we're talking about something different. And if Tatum gets himself to a place where he's a guy that you can really lean on late, so we got Tatum, we got Brown. I look at Gordon Hayward really as a high-end complimentary piece, rather than being a guy that you can truly lean on.
No, you can't lean on him, and that's okay. But you go back to that 6'1 piece. I don't know of any, you know, that's where it gets a little tricky because what happens in the playoffs, they start to pick and roll with the 1 and 4 or 1 and 5. And you're not getting around that. Next thing you know, it's a switch. And – you know, I love his game, but at the same time, on the defensive side, you don't ever see any dog in him like Chris Paul. Chris Paul switch on to somebody, they still know. They're like, hey, I got to be careful around him because he's going to fight. That's just who he is. And when you have those scenarios, and I know Marcus Smart, people say, oh, well, you just put Marcus Smart on him. Well, no, it don't always work that way because Steve Nash ran into this problem as well. Whenever the game gets tight, they will seek you out, just as you've seen in the playoffs with Steph Curry. Everything, whoever Steph guard, let's go get him. Let's go create the switch there. So from that standpoint, I don't know if you can do it with that style, with that small of a guard and what transpires there.
Dude, Marcus Smart fascinates me because the one thing I feel like he's good at is stuff. You know what I mean? I hate all that. Well, I mean, me and you, I don't like all that flopping, but you know, gotta eat. You know, right? Gotta do what you gotta do. But he makes every team he's on better. Whenever he's out there, you are better, and it's just cause he goes hard, right? Like, it's strictly because he goes hard.
But you know what? He plays with it.
Yep.
And you need it on the floor. Because you see what happens. And, like, you mean to tell me he's the only guy that can play with it? I don't think so. But he just goes to show you that he's a role player. He's a role player that enjoys his role, whatever it might be that night. It might be shooting threes at night. And I still think sometimes you can say, hey, Mars, that's not a good one. That's not a good one. You know, when you have – at the time, Kyrie Irving on the floor, and you choose to take the last second shot. That's where I'm talking about the line of order. Guys, you know, we always say KYP, or know your personnel. It's you got to understand what's going on and whose hands the ball needs to be in. I just think there's still not enough discipline with that Boston team right now in order for them to continue to advance. And once they get to understanding the value and the importance of having that discipline, Bomani, I think then you can talk about them, but they just don't have it for me right now as far as the discipline is concerned.
More with Bruce Bowen in a minute, but first, tired of that 230 feeling? You're not alone. In fact, research shows that more than 70% of us hit the wall after lunch. Let a 5-hour energy shot help you leap over that wall instead of crashing into it. Anyone who travels frequently knows how tiring it can be. Whether you're on business or on vacation, 5-hour energy shot can help you stay alert and energized wherever you may be headed. 5-hour energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. With zero sugar, 4 calories, and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for busy, hard-working people. Now it comes in 2 extra-strength tropical tastes. Strawberry banana and tropical burst. They're great. They are delicious and can take you to a tropical on-the-go experience. Try them both, then go online to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10% off your order. That's shop5hourenergy.com. Use the code BOMANI. Go to shop5hourenergy.com and use the code BOMANI to receive a one-time offer of 10%. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. I feel like every team that we think could win a championship has one of those flaws that we normally don't think that a champion is going to have, right? Like the Lakers don't have, I don't know if depth is the right way to put it, but there's just a couple things still left they don't have. I don't feel like the Clippers have the playmakers that you need to have there. And then Denver, I just always feel like I'm being unfair to them because I don't have a great answer for what why they're not going to win it, but they not.
Now, just to go, you talked about the Lakers and the Clippers and then Denver. I'll go with you on this. But what the Lakers have, they have a big that can finish down low and a big that you can dump the ball in late in the game. You know, you saw that against in quite a few of their games here. Late in the game, they can dump the ball into AD and get something solid, get a great shot, get a wide open shot, or get to the free throw line. Those are the different intangibles that I'm talking about that creates when you have a big. And then you got LeBron James. You take AD and LeBron James. And I know LeBron has played with Kyrie. He's played with Kevin Love, but Kevin Love was nothing like AD. So Kyrie was nothing like AD as far as what he could do. See, LeBron is still able to facilitate and then get to AD, whereas it didn't work as well as far as LeBron coming down, facilitating, then giving to Kyrie, even though you had those moments where he could swing it to him and get something really good. You don't want LeBron James on the wing just waiting for someone else to do things. It's because he creates so much, that's why he's facilitating. You talk about the Clippers. My biggest issue with the Clippers right now, Bo, is that who are the role guys that will play with the stars? See, we talk about Williams, what he's able to do. He's a scorer. Talk about Montrez, what he's doing. He's scoring. The only one right now is Patrick Beverley that you can say, okay, I need you to focus on this guy and let's take that person out defensively. But other than that, I mean, you got Paul George who can score. You got Kawhi that can score. You know, and then when you talk about bringing Lou Williams in or Montrez, how will they say, okay, I'm going to take less shots so that he could shine? Or if that guy's shining, how is that other guy going to stay in rhythm to be able to steal attack and do things if he's not getting the ball so much?
And I don't feel like they have enough guys that can get shots for other people, because Kawhi Leonard is handling the ball more than he ever has. He's got more assists than ever, but it's in large part because I don't know who else on that team is supposed to do it. Like, I think we overrate Lou Williams just because we kind of like him. Like, we like the idea of him and the bench guy, you know, that Vinnie Johnson
type of
player.
No, he's not overrated. He's, you know, but that year that I did color commentary with them, I saw Lou, and I remember Lou as a player and what he did. He's definitely evolved as a scorer to becoming a better playmaker. But now what we talk about in Lou Williams is that he's older now. So now he's not that young Lou that was coming off able to give you instant offense right then and there. Now it might take a few possessions before he gets going. So I think he's – I just, you know, what I haven't seen anything as far as fluidity within their offense. I haven't seen them come down, pass the ball, get it from one side of the floor to the other, other than after a timeout. You know, it's now, okay, here you go, Paul. Okay, here you go, Kawhi. Here you go, Paul. You know, oh, there's a guy wide open. Here you go. It's just sometimes when you have that type of I think, offensive power, you really have to get even more creative in your schemes, in the process of getting easy baskets, whereas you don't want Kawhi facilitating so much. Now you want him at the max. I don't want Kawhi to take more than three dribbles before he goes into a shot. See, when you take that away, now the standing looking goes away. Now you don't have that. Now you got guys moving because you don't know where the shot's going to come from. It's kind of like Sacramento back in the day when they ran their stuff. You had to play it to a T in order to try to limit what they do because they had so many counters within their offense.
Their two best players are always hurt, right? Like Paul George, it's a different injury from time to time. And Kawhi Leonard, I feel like this just isn't discussed enough, right? Like I watched him at the end of the postseason last year. I mean, going to those games in the finals and watching him bend over and like his knee is always a problem. And so I wonder as they go deeper into the postseason, like durability of your top two guys matters. Like I used to laugh all the time when people are like, well, I don't know. Can you trust AD's body and LeBron's body? I'm like, dude, you're talking about trusting Kawhi and Paul George.
Yes, and you look at AD, where I think it's because of he have more of a system for him, and now he's not as required as he was, say, like in New Orleans to do so much, bring the ball up, create a shot for someone else. Oh, go, by the way, go post up. Here, better yet, just pass yourself on the block and see what happens. I think now it is more of a conscious effort of him taking care of his body, number one. I think it was a huge scare for LeBron James last year with all that time he missed due to injury because that had never happened before. And you also got the naysayers talking about, well, he is getting older. He is getting older. So I think you have more of a team, a group there that is understanding about taking care of their body. I think Caldwell Pope has developed. He's continuously developing into a better fit guy on the floor that's not just looking for the ball to do his thing. And when you have that, and Avery Bradley able to knock down shots now and also not losing what got Avery Bradley to where he was when he was in Boston, and that was that tenacity on defense. If you have that, those are all good things, especially with the length and range of what the Lakers have. You know, no one ever thought that JaVale McGee would be such a great asset for this ball club. They just put him in the right spot, and you look at that front line with him and AD, LeBron, come on, man. That's length right there. So I talk about those other pieces, learning the game, getting caught up on the game. I've said this before, but I think the worst thing that could have happened for the National Basketball Players Association, the Players Association, was that they took away the month of training camp. Because now you have teams, after the All-Star break, they're going to play better because they've had time to do things. You know, I think sometimes you just need to put the body in a physical, tough situation when it comes to two-a-days so that you prepare for this 82-game season. But not only prepare for the 82-game season, you're also preparing your mind. See, now they can't do two-a-days. If you do one practice, then you got to follow with a film session. And I think that hurts the game because of the development. Now you got kids coming into the game that don't understand the game, and you can't necessarily teach them the game like you would like to because you have games going on.
Now, let me – I brought Denver up a second ago. I love Jokic's game, man. Like, he is a monster. Like, I feel like whenever I go up and down their roster, I can name enough dudes where I feel like this is a team that could slash should compete for a championship. And then I think at the end, I'm like, but nope, they're going to lose in the second round.
Well, I think part of it is because of the youth at the guard position. I mean, you look at what Murray's able to do now. Talk about their guards. Their guards are, they are good when they are on. They are good when they're on. But now, Bomani, you understand this because you follow the game for quite some time. Sometimes it's not about that guy doing his thing all the time. Sometimes it's best for that guy to now play off of what they can with Jokic. See, his Jokic, and I think you and I have discussed this, he has a throwback game style. So he could have played in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, just he understands it. And if those guys would just, I think, would truly understand what they have in him, they would understand they don't have to work so hard to get shots. Because what you have is this, it stems from a lot of AAU stuff as far as players breaking guys down one-on-one as compared to let Jokic get in there because he's a willing passer. Now, the difference is he kicks it out to a wide-open guy who's either going to knock down a three or attack. It's coming off a pass. It's coming off a defense now, adjusting and closing out. I guarantee you, they're so much better against a team closing out than they are when they're trying to break somebody down one-on-one. That comes with age. As guys start to get more mature in this game, they start to realize that they don't have to do all that stuff to show their worth. More than anything else, all they need to do is just play the game.
Now, where are you on Utah?
Huh?
Where are you on Utah?
Huh? No,
you,
man,
well, you sound like Vernon Maxwell right now.
I like that they San Antonio kid from Cleveland. Clarkson. I think he gives them a different dynamic. He gives them more dependability from the guard position. And I Donovan Mitchell hasn't had that kind of year right now. And I don't know if it is because he's maybe a little fatigued or shot selection sometimes. I don't feel like he's having that type of year that we've seen from him last year. No, and a lot of that has to do with more awareness on him this year and what he does. But now, from him going from scorer to facilitator, I think he had to do so much, and then he wasn't getting any help from the point guard position. And, you know, Rudy Gobert is not a guy, even though he's a big, he's not a guy that you can dump the ball down to each and every time. You know, I think Ingles he's been solid for them and continues to be solid. It's just, you know, you don't fear playing Utah, especially when you're in Utah. You know, there was a time where you had to go to Utah. You're like, okay, man, the altitude. Now we got to deal with these players and Karl Malone and Stockton. Now it's not necessarily that way. And I'm still trying to figure it out. As I watch games, there's moments where you're saying, aha, there it is. Then there's moments where you're just kind of like, man, could this be it? You know, do you blow it up? Do you break it up? What goes on?
I've always felt like, at least in this Quinn Snyder era, and I think Quinn's really good, but everything they get comes out of scheme, right? I've always looked at them, and this was my criticism of Hayward when he was there, is like, can you go get a bucket, right? Is there anybody that we got? And Mitchell can, but if you're the only dude who can, we know how tricky that gets.
And when he's going to get a bucket, how does it make the others look? Do they stand and watch? Are they still moving? I think part of that is because of what we've seen for so many years with Utah and Karl Malone and Stockton. It was a 1-4 set. You knew what was going to happen. Stockton's going to pass over there. Hornacek might spot up. Oh, he's going to set a legal screen for Karl Malone.
I know you're not.
You know, that was a little extra for me. But, no, it's just, you know, it's one thing that people don't understand is that I'm going to go from the development standpoint of players today. You know, you get a kid that goes to college for 1 year, and then he leaves after that 1 year. Now he goes to the NBA draft. He's a high pick. And now you want to teach that kid what your schemes are and what he can do out of it. Well, the young man didn't develop so much in college, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get better in college. And maybe he got better at one thing, but what about the other things, especially with you being a go-to guy? Now you need to understand how to read defense. You need to be able to think, you know, sometimes one or two plays ahead to see where the ball needs to go and how it will get there. You're lacking a lot of that right now, Bomani, which I think it hinders the process of what the NBA team can be, and they have to deal with those things because they have to reteach the game to the young guy coming in now. And I think you're starting to see a lot of that, and I think that's affecting the Utah Jazz right now. I think it affects everybody around the league. And then you take, you know, players that have been traded there, now they have to get their mind set for that. And it's not easy with Quinn and what he does as far as his scheme of things. But at the same time, you know, you have to just keep plugging away from the coach's standpoint. But I think that's one of the biggest issues right now as far as what they're doing.
All right, we'll be back in a minute with Bruce Bowen. But first, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's what NetSuite by Oracle has set out to solve. Because most companies don't have a clear picture of their finances, and that's why many businesses fail. The question for any business owner out there is, are you confident that you've got the right numbers at your fingertips? I mean, I know how that feels like. I get some bad info, some bad stats, and then I try to come out here and talk to y'all. You think I'm crazy. But serious entrepreneurs and finance teams run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite offers a full picture of all your finances all in one place, in real time, right from your phone or your desktop. No more guessing. No more worry that what you don't know could kill your company. That's why NetSuite customers grow 3 times faster than the S&P 500, and you can too. Schedule your free demo right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits at netsuite.com/Bomani. Set up your free demo and get your free guide today at netsuite.com/Bomani. netsuite.com/Bomani.
Yeah, I'm going to switch gears a little bit on what you talked about because it really just reminded me of something. Just about like that development and guys getting better and figuring this stuff out. What's your read on Andrew Wiggins?
Oh, man. If you don't do a good job at ESPN Beaumont, do you keep your job?
Probably not.
No. Do you get a raise?
Unlikely.
Unlikely. And I think we have seen that transpire with Andrew Wiggins. Now, Andrew Wiggins next year, he's going to be phenomenal.
Think so?
You know why? Because Steph Curry is on the floor as well as Klay Thompson. So now the onus is not on him. The focus is not on him. Here it is, a guy that when he came into the game, he couldn't shoot. I don't know if you can still say that he's an improved shooter, but he's still not a knockdown shot kind of guy. He's not a guy that can come off a screen and swing it right then there because he read the defense. When you feed guys constantly, yes, they look good. Or when they're able to take all kind of shots that they want, yes, they look good. But Andrew Wiggins is not that. He's not that dude that you say, oh, man, Minnesota just got worse because they lost him. No, I think they got better because now – you know, if you obviously you look at players, you look at what Russell was able to do, he can put that ball in the hole. But that's something that Andrew Wiggins never developed. He never became that guy there that could put the ball in the hole. And then on the flip side, I'm a defend because he's athletic as all get out, but he's always been that. So what is it about Andrew Wiggins? He is who he is. It's not that he's a bad guy. It's not that he's a bad player. He's just not the player that they hoped he would be. And a lot of times when a player is not the player that they hoped that they would be, they end up getting traded later on when now you can look back and say, man, what if we would have did this a long time ago?
Yeah, I feel like he's been a bus hiding in plain sight, right? Like he does the stuff. Like he does the stuff that if you watch just a little bit, looks great.
In plain sight,
because he'll put up those points per game numbers, right? Like you'll be out there and be like, "Yo, but Andrew Wiggins scored 24 points a game. How could you say that he's a bust?" And be like, "Yo, he literally didn't do anything else.
He had no impact on the game." And that's where this is where the whole with some people and what they think about the analytics. This is what happens when those things get to going on. They get to talking about those things, and you're like, but wait, yeah, he scored 20. That's empty 24 points. And people say, how can you say someone had an empty 24 points? Well, if you lost by 20, it really don't mean nothing. If you're not having impact, so Marcus Smart has an impact on the game, whether he scores 8, 15, or 20. See, even with 8 points, you can still see that he's effective on the floor. There were many a nights where Andrew Wiggins, he's on the floor, and even when he scored, you're like, yeah, but I didn't know he had 18 points in the first half. Those are the things that happens with shooters, but also guys that just don't impact the game.
And I don't know what to make of his man, Karl Towns. It's all there, except it's not.
So, we talked about this earlier. Let's go back a little bit now. This is the same organization who drafted 2 point guards who couldn't shoot in the top 10, I believe.
Yes.
You know, where is Flynn at now?
Good question.
See, Rubio has continued to develop, but oh my goodness, it took how many years before Rubio could, you know, now get to a point where he's not thinking about his shot. He's always been a great facilitator on the offense. He's a true point guard, and it's not saying that you can't. It's just a bad thing if you can't shoot at the point guard, but it's such a necessity. It is such a necessity. I remember Eric Snow. Eric Snow couldn't shoot to save anybody.
Right.
But he was effective on the floor. So you look at the organization and the character guys that they're getting. You know, if I'm a GM and I'm building, I need guys that care about the game and that don't want to leave the gym and that play with a certain oomph like a Marcus Smart. I need that because there's going to be dark days. It's not always the most talented guys that are going to get you to the promised land. Sometimes it's the most limited guys but have the biggest hearts out there on the floor and that will get on the floor for a loose ball and not leave it to someone else. See, that's what you have in a lot of the game today is that guys are more concerned about self more than anything else as compared to, well, how can we build this? So they brought in Coach Tibbs, who's a no-nonsense kind of guy. Now you got Sanders in there, which is fantastic. But you got to be able to coach guys. You got to be able to get on a guy. You know, Coach Izzo, you think he let stuff slide with his guys at Michigan State? He loves his team, but he is also understanding that he needs to stay on those guys because they don't have it yet. And you have a lot of guys right now that have been in Minnesota that feel like, hey, I'm here. This is me. Yeah. No, man. It's about continuously improving. And it seems like, and I don't know if you agree with this, Bomani, but a lot of that life left when KG left.
Yeah, there's something to that.
KG learned it from Kevin McHale.
Right.
McHale worked with him and let him know, hey, man, no, every single night you got to bring it. See, I think this is one of the biggest issues that a lot of the players that played in that era, they look at players now, and the first thing they say is, man, these guys are soft. And a lot of people get upset at that. And it's not the soft aspect of things. But when they came into the game, you had to try out for a team. Bomani, don't nobody try out for games anymore. Nobody try out for teams no more. They're placed on a team. They're placed on the team. So where is that aspect of, man, I want that position. I need to work hard for that position. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. And if they feel, Lord, no, if they feel a bump or they feel a little soreness somewhere, they shut it down. What do you mean? I saw a kid at this Nike Elite camp, one of the top 50. Top 25 high school. And this guard did work the first 2 days. Boy sat out the next two. I said, my man, how come you're not playing today? I got a little elbow bursitis. I said, you know, I played with a guy named Allen Iverson. He had that and a list of other things going on with his body for a whole season. So you're going to sit out because of that? And he just looked at me like, go ahead with that, man. I ain't trying to hear that.
How old did you feel?
You take that attitude onto the floor now with a lot of today's youth. I'm not saying everybody is built that way, but think about those things when kids don't have to try out for stuff and you're just giving them things, and then we wonder why they don't have no hunger or no desire to get after it. Marcus Smart stayed in school another year to work on his game. Marcus Smart wasn't scared of that. He wasn't scared of improvement.
You must love these Miami Heat this year then with Jimmy.
What? I couldn't wait for you to say something about that hard-working team. Man.
I love Jimmy, though. Jimmy, like, I look at all these teams and people say that Jimmy was the problem. All those teams are terrible now that he's gone, and every team he goes to gets better when he shows up.
Man, look here. Y'all act like Jimmy been in the league for 40 years. He ain't been in the league that long. But now, the thing is, it's the culture. They get that. You know Bomani because you spent time there. You know it's the culture. Now, you take young guys coming into this game and you put them in that culture, what happens there? They develop, they get better, and you weed out all the others. Oh, no pun intended on the weed. But that's the case, man. You look at them run offense, they run it with a purpose. It ain't no isolation. Okay, do your thing, dog, do your thing. No, it's movement, back screen, re-screen, skip the ball, here, there, attack the basket. Bam Adebayo. Oh, my goodness. I loved him at Kentucky. I felt like he didn't touch the ball enough at Kentucky. But you look at what he's able to do now because of development. They're going to continue to work with him, and he's in an environment where you work, you work, you work. And through work, that's where you find success. It's somewhere hidden in the work. So if you don't put in the work, then you can't expect to have the success. But what you have with a lot of other spots, oh, man, we got to get this work in. But they're not working, and it shows as they play. But you look at that, man, Hero act like he been there forever. And, I mean, you look at how they vibe, they gel on the floor, but it's because of all the work that they're doing with one another. And even with Jimmy, now Jimmy's not the only one working. It's everyone. Now you got someone who can take that leadership role and give them some type of accountability on the floor, which is what you're missing in Philly. Now, I'm not saying that he was that in Philly, but I'm just saying you see a difference now. You see what Miami has as compared to what Philly doesn't have. And I got to go to this. Early in the year, somebody asked Joel about his diet. And the first thing he said, oh, no, it ain't about my diet. Man, do you realize if you take care of your body now, your knees will be better? You're carrying too much weight on the knees? We're not talking about his skill set, because even with that, he's still good. But just think if he truly loved it. Like, man, I remember when Kobe decided to stop eating certain meats. And I'm like, I love me a steak. He went to fish, because he was concerned about his body. And so when we talk about how guys get to certain places in life, it is not by accident that the Miami Heat has the success that they have. Now, mind you, I've been there. I understand what goes on there. But it's through the work. And so when you see a team that works hard, when you see a team that puts in the time, it just makes it, for me, it makes me happy. Because that's what I've always known was the improvement in life, is the work that goes on before.
But can they win the East? It's tricky, right?
With all that work you just talked about, Bruce, can they win? I think they can. But, you know, right now the only knock for me with them is the inexperience. You know, and I know you got an all-star in Adebayo and Jimmy up there, but, you know, it's not just about two guys. It's the inexperience right now, and I think it's been a huge asset for them to keep some of the old heads around. You look at a lot of people on that sideline or people that have been in that organization that's had victories there. So I think they can, but I need a few more months. I need 2 months to see the constant improvement, because I think it's just it's the inexperience right now and their youth, but I think this is a great start for them.
Before we get out of here, I'm loving this idea of you having to guard Rasheed Wallace like that. I'm sure he was talking to you the whole way.
She used to do stuff like, I've always had a good relationship with him. And I mean, it's she, 6'10", Bruce, 6'7", with high heels on. But, you know, when I was fronting him, oh, she's like, all right, you better go ahead with that, Bruce. You ain't going to be able to do nothing with this. And then he catch it, and then he shoot his shot. And sometimes, You can't do nothing about certain things. You just got to roll on down to the next 10 and yell at Tim, say, go to work on him, Tim, you know, because that's all they do. But she and I, we've always been good. And to know that he's giving back to the game right now, he's coaching in North Carolina.
Yep, high school.
High school. Shea Wallace is coaching. So now, I know your next question is, what does he do when his player get a technical foul? Stop it, Bomani.
That wasn't my next question. My next question was about, you know, when you had to guard him in the post, just wondering if you had any, like, you know, special techniques that you was in there using. Undermanned.
Special techniques, huh?
Special techniques, man.
That's what you're going to go with?
Yeah, I'm going to go with special techniques. You know, things you learned over time.
I haven't talked to you since 2019, and this is what you want to do. But you know what? Hey, I'm good, brother. I talked to my therapist. I told her that I was going to talk to you today. I told her that, and she said, you know what, Bruce? You have improved so much. Look the way you're not even sweating when you say that. I said, you know what? But he's going to try something. He's slick.
I just wanted to get some insight on what made you an all defense guy.
See, and this is something else I tell. See, what you're doing right now, you're complimenting me. I'm not like I was 3 years ago. When you compliment me, I didn't know what was going on. I just accepted the compliment. I see that I'm turning around right now, looking behind me, trying to make sure I don't see something coming at me right now.
I want to teach the kids the game, Bruce. There's kids listening out here. I thought maybe they could hear from you what you got to do when you got to guard a dude that's 3 inches taller than you. Maybe you would give them some insight.
You got to have good help side.
Oh, that's what it is.
That, Bomani.
That's what it is.
You got to have good help side. And every now and then you need to push. you gotta push them, then make sure they don't dribble. Now, if they fall, it ain't because they got tripped, Bomani.
You're right.
No, I'm right now.
You're right.
I see. I took away your angle now. How you like them apples?
Yeah, well played. I'm going to ask you one last thing before we go. This is probably I don't know, next time I'm talking to you, this probably be Vince Carter's last year in the league, and I was just wondering if you wanted to pay some kind of tribute to Vince.
Pay a tribute?
Yeah, I thought you might want to pay a tribute to Vince.
Now, Vince was amazing, but my thing was, number one, I didn't want to be on the highlight, and number two, with Vince, I didn't ever want him to think I was friendly with him.
I know this. I know this.
And so, you know, Iron, one time I happened to do something, I scored, and there's a break in the play, and he's standing there. He's like, man, that was a good shot there. And I act like he wasn't talking to me. And so he looks at Tim, like, hey, did he hear me? And Tim just kind of looks at him like he always does. And so he's like, yeah, man, that was a nice move. Oh, you got those new kicks on, huh? And I just stare at him. I stare at him like your grandmama stare at you in church when you got a mouthful of candy and you know you ain't supposed to have no candy in a sanctuary. That look right there, that's what I gave him. And he just went on down court just kind of mumbling to himself. And I know what he was probably thinking, like, I'm trying to be good with this dude, man. I'm trying to bury the hatchet. I didn't want that hatchet buried.
What did Vince do to you, Bruce?
Man, he didn't do anything. It wasn't about that. I just wasn't no friends with no guys on the court.
Man,
and I had that was the edge that I had to keep because he was good. He was so good. I mean, I don't think guys understand. They only see the dunk contest. They don't see the guy that always played second fiddle in college with Antoine Jamison. You know, they didn't know that this guy could do what he did. You know, so when he comes onto the scene and he starts doing these things, it's like it's amazing what he did. But at the same time, I think – it all happened so in such a way where he never had that other piece. And he could do a lot more than say, like, we talk about what LeBron James was doing in Cleveland when he took them to the finals in 03. See, that who else was on his squad, I'm talking about Vince Carter in Toronto, that you could say, oh, man, they should have got to the finals.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about young Tracy McGrady. We're not talking about that one. You know, but he was doing those things, but doing it well. I mean, shoot, he could shoot it. He could create shots. He creates shots for others. I mean, we always talked about, you know, LeBron needs to work on this, or LeBron needs to work on – nobody didn't say that about Vince. It was more or less about the fact that, hey, man, he's so talented. Why hasn't he gotten there? And so, for me, it was about competition because I knew how good he was.
I understand.
See, when you're going up against somebody and you don't have that talent, you got to figure out ways to keep them guessing. I kept them guessing. See, like, if a lot of guys knew how I felt about them now, back then, man, you wouldn't be talking to me. I wouldn't be no champion. You'd be like, hey, man, who that guy, that bald head dude that wear a goatee like me? And but he ain't on TV a lot. That's what you would have been doing.
Amen. That, ladies and gentlemen, is my man, Bruce Bowen. I appreciate you joining us. You are always my favorite person to have on to talk about hoops. I'm glad you could make the time, man.
No problem, Bo. Good talking to you too, bro.
Thank you, man. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. And do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassain handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Also, thank you to our sponsors. Thanks to My Computer Career. Thanks to ZipRecruiter. Thanks to 5-Hour Energy. And also thanks to NetSuite. Remember to subscribe to The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.